Welcome to Coastline Church, seeking renewed faith in Humboldt County by being settled and secure in God's love. To learn more, visit coastline4square.com.
Interesting, when we were listening to that song, I mean, I've heard the song Oceans a lot of times, but interesting when we were listening to it this way, this time, and it said, keep my eyes above the waves. In my mind, I'm thinking, that must mean I'm in the water. Stunk in the water, and I'm just like looking up, asking the Lord, keep my eyes at least above the waves so that I can still see you, even though my body is fully immersed in this water. And I know sometimes we feel like that we are sunk in the water. We got out, we stepped, and we're walking on the water, and now we're in the water. But Lord is still there to help us to stay above that wave so that we can at least still see him. Even in the midst of our trials and tribulations, he makes a way for us to still see him and call upon him. And that's really good news, because it is a promise. So as Fran said, I am a missionary, and I do travel at least once a year. I try to get out. I'm very grateful that I have that opportunity. I have a job that will allow me to leave for 2 months out of the year to travel the world and share the gospel with anyone that's willing to listen and invite me to their country. I have been to 10 countries so far. I will continue to go until the Lord says you're done. And I also do work here on the streets, ministry. My second job is working for Betty Chin, doing her street ministry, which I love to do because I love to meet new people. No one to me is a stranger. So if I can get out there and help as many people as I can, just to share his love and whatever else he puts on my heart, that is my desire. I'm not married, nor do I have children. So, you know, I have no reason to not do it. And it's what I'm called to do. And as I said before, I love doing it. So something that I experience on the street, I meet a lot of people. As I said, I hear a lot of stories, a lot of brokenness, things that they're going through. And a lot of them say that they know Jesus. They've had a relationship with Jesus at some point, but the way they're living does not show the proof of it. And that weighs on my heart as well when I'm out there and seeing the things that people are still involved in and doing. It's rough out there. It really is. The things that I've heard and seen. I have come out of drug addiction and alcoholism. I've come out of a lot of darkness. The list is long, and I'm very grateful for the Lord rescuing me out of that darkness and brought me to be his vessel of hope. And my desire really is for the lost, but it's also my desire is to restore the hallelujah back into his church, because we definitely have a reason to celebrate. We definitely have a victory in Christ. I know that I'm victorious. There's nothing the enemy can do to stop me. I know this. I know that the only thing that could stop me from carrying out what the Lord's will is for my life is me. I do know this. So I do my best to try to get out of my own way. Not very successful all the time, but I do my best. So first off, I'm going to read some scriptures that you can just keep in mind as we go on this journey. The first one's out of Luke 24. Luke 24:36 through 38 says, now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? He didn't say, why do doubts arise in your mind? He said, in your heart. The next scripture comes out of John. John 12 is where I'm going. 12:4-6. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and give it to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put into it. Flip over to 13, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the hearts of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, which is Jesus, to betray Jesus. Go down to verse 27. Now, after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. And the last scripture is Acts 5, 3 through 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Basically, what I see in that particular scripture is Ananias and his wife aligned, came into agreement with what Satan had. So what do you suppose my topic is? The heart. The heart. And how important it is that we allow God to till our hearts. Because in Proverbs, it says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. So it's important that we know what's going on in our heart. And the only way I know what's going on in my heart is if I ask the Lord, show me what's going on in my heart. Because I know that I can deceive myself. I already know this. I'll tell you a story about a man I met out in the streets about 2 weeks ago. His name was Manuel. He just left Teen Challenge. He was there for 14 months and he walked away because in his mind, he said, I needed to go rescue my parents who were in Bakersfield and bring them back here to live. That's what he said his plan was. So he brought his parents back here and now they're all on the street. His mom actually went back to Bakersfield because she didn't want to be here. And him and his dad are out here on the streets. I talked to Manuel. He knows Jesus. He said to me when we were talking, yeah, I had one drink. I had a beer. And after much talking, he was aware that he compromised and was trying to justify it until we talked a little longer. And he understood, yeah, I compromised myself. And I'm glad it came out of his mouth and not mine, even though our discussion led him to come to that understanding. And I told him, you know, the devil only needs a little crack. That's all he needs. Just a little opening. And he will get in there and he'll take you right back to where you came from. That's all it takes. He said, yeah, I agree. I understand. I know I need to be out here ministering the gospel to these people. Well, good. I'm glad we're on the same page. So the following week, I saw Manuel. And interesting enough, there was a girl that happened to come along who also left Teen Challenge. She was a young girl like him, hurting. She was crying by the time I got done with her. But nevertheless, I reminded her who she was, who God said she was. And she was also drinking at this point. I knew this was not a good idea for both these two young people who have compromised to be out on the street together. Because eventually they became a couple. And since I've been out looking for them, I have not seen them. I wonder what they're doing. Not. I come to understand that even though Manuel meant well, I know I'm supposed to be out here ministering to people. He ministered to this young woman, and it's gone past ministry. It's gone to that dark side of things. And I wondered, I wonder when this sin started. I am under the impression that it didn't start that day he picked up that beer. I'm under the impression that it started when he was still in Teen Challenge. There was something already in his heart that was not being dealt with that caused 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever else the enemy has for him. I believe it started then. And probably not even then. It probably started way back there with some root that was in there that was left unchecked. Because you remember, it says about Judas, he was a thief from the beginning. So it didn't just start overnight. Sin never starts overnight. There's always something in our hearts that's left unchecked, that's not dealt with. And you keep that door open long enough, and the enemy will get in there and do something. He's very patient. I don't pretend to be smarter than the enemy, but I know my God. And I know that his desire is for me to come out of all darkness, not just some, not just a little sin, but all darkness. And I'm willing. I'm willing to do it, whatever it takes. Not perfect at it, but I'm telling you, I'm getting better at it. Interesting enough, I've been thinking about Manuel. He's been on my mind, on my heart. I've been praying for the young man. I've been praying for this woman now that he's with. I can't even say who caused who to stumble. I just know they both profess Jesus, and now they're both out there doing the devil's work. So I'm not quite sure where to put that, but I just know I need to be praying for them. But it's like I said, it's been on my mind. I only at this time can go out 2 times a week because of my job. So, and then the rain, I don't go out in. So, you know, I'm looking forward to going back out there and hopefully running into these two characters. But I like to sit out in the sun when it is sunny here. It's very rare, but I do like to sit out in it and just watch nature be nature. And I have a balcony at home that I can sit in and watch the field and the ocean and all that nature-y stuff. And I like to feed the birds. I love birds. And so, you know, me and the birds have an understanding. I can understand some of the things that the voices, things they make, the little crowing and all that. And so I'm sitting on the balcony this one day, last week probably, and threw some food down there for the birds, wait for them to come get it. And they're making this noise that I'm familiar with. And that tells me there's an enemy near. So I'm looking, wondering, where's the cat? Because the cat shows up every so often to try to get my birds. And they make the noise. And now I'm looking. And I see the cat crawling around on my down there on the ground. And I'm like, okay, there you are. And the cat's just moving about, just like, and the birds are up there making their little noise. And then the cat moves into the field. And I'm watching the cat. And I'm like, wow, Lord. I find it interesting that those birds instinctively know who their enemy is. That's amazing to me. And that cat, if there was a dog coming, would know instinctively, that is my enemy. How is it, Lord, that we as your people have trouble understanding who our enemy is? How is it? We are so much more intelligent than a cat and a bird. But yet, we have trouble discerning our enemy sometimes. And that sometimes is enough to get us caught up in nonsense. For Manuel, it was a pretty little girl hurting just like him. It was money in his pocket and around people that are okay with drinking. Just one. I'll just have one beer. That's all I'll do. I'll just have one little. I'll just watch this one more time. That's all it takes sometimes. And as God's people, I know I can't afford to say just one more. I can't afford it. I'll tell you today, I don't think I was an alcoholic. I know why I drank. But I'm okay with not picking up any alcohol today because I like to be sober-minded. I like to be able to think. It's not worth it. I was a pothead. God moved me to the pot capital of the world. Yeah, he's funny. Yeah. But I tell you what, I could care less about the weed. Doesn't bother me one bit. When I'm out on the streets, people are smoking it right in front of me. I just tell Lord, please protect me from that smell because I don't want to smell it. I was also a meth head, crackhead. Anything you had, I had, I wanted it if it was going to mess me up. They smoke it right in front of me today. You know, it's only by the grace of God that I am free enough to say, hey, let's talk about Jesus while you smoke on that pipe. It doesn't bother me. And I thank God it doesn't. But imagine if I just thought, if I just had one bad day and I said, you know what? I'm done. I'll just try it one more time. One more go around. I can't afford it. I can't afford it. When I said yes to Christ, I meant it. So we see that as we go back to this story and of what the Word of God is telling us. In John 13, 2, we see that this is how I like to see it, because if I can imagine it, then it becomes real for me. I can see it. And I think of John 13, 2 as when the enemy approached Judas, he whispered in his ear. He gave him an idea about Jesus, because here he is, this money. He's like, hey, can't we do something with that money? Basically, he was saying, can't I do something with this money? At that moment, because Satan knew his heart, he whispered in his ear, hey, that's not right. Let's do something about this. That's what Satan did to him. Then in John 13, 27, it says, from the bread into Judas, and now Satan possessed him, entered him. So he whispered, he took the bait, and he went for it. Reminds me of James 1:5. It says, when desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And once it's fully grown, it brings death. So I like to see it as sin, just the desire of it, impregnated Jesus. He was now pregnant and he gave birth to the sin, which we know led to his death. So when we get the whispers in our ears from the enemy, just do it. Go for it. That's he's stirring our desire. And once we get it and it flows into our hearts, into that area that's already dealing with stuff that's unresolved, and we receive it. It impregnates us. And if we don't deal with it, we are going to sin. We are going to go for it. We are going to smoke that thing. We are going to watch that thing. We are going to touch that thing. And I pray to God that before it gets to that death part, physical death, we come out of it. My prayer is we don't even have it open to the enemy to touch. And only God can show us what those things are, and only God is the one that can get us out of those things. I've been in so many rehabs, I don't even know. It's been countless. Over and over and over. It was a revolving door. It never worked. I was sober for a while. I think the longest was 2 years. Went back out. There was something there that caused me to go back out. There's always something. It was only by God's grace when he got a hold of me and knocked me upside my head and say, honey, let me free you from this. And I said, okay, Lord, because I'm tired of it. And he did. And I'm very grateful. So as we've seen, Judas was a thief from the beginning, so there was something in his heart that was unresolved, that the enemy was able to latch onto it. There's another part in the scriptures that say, when Jesus is dealing with Satan, he says, Satan has nothing on me. There's no hooks in me that Satan can just say, hey, let's do this. Hey, and that's kind of where my heart is. I want to be where I can say, Satan, you have nothing on me. Because he's the accuser. I don't want any hooks. I'm sure I have them because I'm still here. But I do want to get rid of them. We as God's people, we must be willing to have our hearts examined and our hearts exposed. We must be willing. Just be willing. He'll do the rest. He'll do the work. That I know. I'm a living testimony of it. Sin was my best friend. Whether it be sexual sin, I've been in it. Drugs, alcohol, pornography. I was in all of it. There's a scripture in Psalms 139. I'm sure you guys all know. Search my heart, Lord. Show me any wicked way that is within me. And you may ask, why is this so important? Well, besides looking at the scriptures and seeing what it leads to, I believe a hard, deceived, stubborn heart cannot go from glory to glory. It's impossible. You can try to prove me wrong, but it is impossible to go from glory to glory as prescribed for God's children, with a hard, stubborn, deceived heart. Because we know what Proverbs 4 said, out of the heart flows the issues of life. So I think many people, even in the church, we're broken people. And God loves broken people. We know this. He's here to heal us from our brokenness. But many people in the church I see avoid this process of getting their heart exposed so that the Lord can heal it. Some people try to do a geographic. They try to keep it hidden. They're in denial, deception. They love sin. They're ignorance. As I said, I run into a lot of people on the street that said they know Jesus. They love Jesus. Until Jesus tries to tell them what to do. A lot of people come in from all over the world to Humboldt County, these Jesus-loving people. And one thing that they try to tell me about is what I just termed a geographic. And I only know it because of the AA and NA and AAA and all those A's that I've been through. This term is they use as a geographic is we try to go from here and I'll move over there and it'll be different. I'll live here and then I'll go over there and it'll be different. And it doesn't work that way. I can't run from my sins. And as I tell these people I run into and I tell them, they say, yeah, I'm going to go back to I'm going to go back to Fairfield is what this one girl said. I'm going to go back to Fairfield and things are going to be different because that's where I'm from and I have family and my friends. And I said, wow, you know what? You know who's going to be over there in Fairfield? Who? You are. You are going to be there. And it's going to be the same. Until you deal with this, you're going to go right back into the same nonsense. I know this. I've done it. And we have a real enemy that's here and over there. But at the moment, she was her own enemy. I'm going to read to you an exposition from someone called McLaren. It was when I was looking at commentary, and I got it because I just thought it was, and it just hits the point just right on the head, whatever they call that thing. Nail on the head, something like that. He says, these hidden movements of desire and will that never come to the surface are our true selves. Look after them, and the deeds will take care of themselves. Serpents' eggs have serpents in them. And he that has determined upon a sin has done the sin, whether his hands have been put to it or not. That's pretty powerful. I pause because my mind wants to wander off in all these areas of other things of understanding this because it's so powerful to me. But I'm going to try to stick to my outline. That's why I make it. So this scripture, this particular exposition reminds me of the scripture in Proverbs chapter 7. And I'll start with verse 21. It says, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it cost him his life. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your hearts turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. So we see that Judas's sin, it birthed death. Ananias and his wife, they too gave birth to death. And as I told you before, I'm praying for Manuel and this woman that their sin does not birth death. But when you truly think about it, at this moment, even though they are alive in the flesh, they are really dead in their sins. So my prayer is that God wakes them up from their sin, because I already know the relationship's not going to last long because it's out of order. At some point, they're going to surface, probably separated. But I will continue to pray for them. So my question to you today is, are you willing to ask the Lord to examine your heart and show you any wicked way that is within there? Judas's unresolved sin hardened his heart. I know he knew it was there. There is a difference when you know it's there and you don't do anything about it. Now you're coming into agreement and alignment with the enemy. But there's unresolved sin in our hearts that we don't know. And that's why we pray and ask the Lord to show us so that we can deal with it. Because I don't want anything stopping me from going from glory to glory. I may be walking in what the Lord has called me to be doing as far as missions and ministering at the places I go, exploring my gifts and call. I may be doing that now. But he's not done with me. One thing I love about serving the Lord is that there's no end. There's no glass ceiling. I can keep going higher and higher and higher. I mean, it's just the opposite, right? I was already going high, so why don't I just keep going high this year? My other question, and that's where I was going with this, is if you know you are walking in willful sin, are you willing to repent and lay it down? And trust that the Lord can help you. He can help us out of those sins. That's the miracle of it, is I don't have to do it myself. Because obviously I can't. And the whole thing is being willing. He wants us willing. Willing vessels to be changed and transformed by him. And only you can answer these questions that I've just asked. But I will tell you, if you are bound and you want to be free, I'm willing to pray with and for you today for your freedom. I've rattled off a list of sins so far that I've been in my past. And I am certain that the enemy doesn't like it, but the Lord has given me the keys to those things so that I can help others get free from them. So I am willing to pray for any of you, for anything. Because if it was bad, I probably did it. I thank you, Fran, again, and your church for allowing me to come here and share with you what the Lord's placed in my heart. Maybe if I didn't run into Manuel and his girl, this wouldn't have been my topic. I don't know. I just know that the heart and the deceitfulness of it has been placed on my heart since running into Manuel, which I'm grateful for, because it helps me now to ask for the Lord to continue to search my home. I don't do those sins anymore that lead to death, but I know that I still sin. I know I still have wickedness in my heart, especially if I'm having a bad day. I just know the Lord's not pleased with it either way. And I'm willing to come out of it at whatever cost. So I will pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your grace. I thank you for your strength, Father God, that you give us to overcome. I thank you because of you, Lord, we are overcomers. Because of you, Father God, we can stand here today, set free. The enemy has no room to make accusations against us. And when he does, we can come to you in confidence and boldness and ask for help. Help us, Father, to give us the desire to want to come out of sin, especially those known sins. Stir our hearts, Father. Take us deeper. Because in these coming times, it's only going to get harder. Because it is getting darker. But in you, Father God, there is light. There is hope. There is peace. There is rest. We thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us on that cross so that we can be free. Because I know what your word says. To whom much has been given, much more is required of us. To whom you have set free is free indeed. I'm grateful to be a testimony of who you are. And I pray the same for your church here today, Father, for freedom. That they too would go from glory to glory. From this day forward, we would all expose those sins for what they are, and ask you, Father, to search our hearts, to examine our hearts. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And I pray these things in your name. Hallelujah and amen.
Thank you for joining us today at Coastline Church. To find out more information, please visit coastline4square.com.